Good evening, everybody. Michelle, can you lead us in that pledge?
Sure. Let's begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Hey, Al, I'm getting a little bit of feedback on this. Can we maybe just a smidge? Thank you. Okay, roll call. Let's let the record show that all the directors are here tonight. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the agenda is approved. And public comments.
Anita Impan, 1095 Rivera. First off is the card. So I was using this card today to get rid of my green weight, and there's 12 punches in the back, and my truck was just a regular pickup truck with the branches in it, and they said that I was going to be over my limit, which I ended up paying $18, which that's not a big deal, but if someone lives up here in Redwood and they want to use the dump, you think they're going to go out and use and take their car down, think they're going to be able to dump their green waste and not be charged, and they have to pay $18, they're going to be not very happy. So on the back side, we have 12 punches. So I think we should be able to consolidate these 12 punches because, you know, we're not going to be bringing green waste in December to the dump. And most of us probably use it twice a year on 2 days. 2 days we're probably going maybe five times that we're wanting to get rid of our green waste. So I think trying to figure out the back of this card and not have a 500-pound maximum, and then after 500 pounds, you have to pay the extra. Okay, so that's my first comment. The second one is, when I went to the dump, I've gone numerous times, and you go behind the transfer dump, you know, at the station. Well, they told me to pull in where regular trash was being dumped. And they said to throw it over the bar. You know the bar there? So you back your pickup up and then
so,
you got
so you had green waste.
Yeah, and I got green waste with big branches on it.
Yeah.
So normally when I'm there and I'm dumping my green waste, I can throw it to either side, behind, I can pull forward. Sometimes I'll put strings down or a tarp and I can pull it off.
Yeah.
So I had to throw it all over. But my comment to the guy was, I bet you anything that this is against the state's contract with the trash company, the county, and the city. I think, and I don't know this, you have to do your own homework, I would bet that you are not allowed to have your green waste go with regular trash. So I have photos of me being in the tin building, throwing off branches and logs that were this big, and I used the chainsaw, beautiful. And so I think we need to hold the trash company accountable. If the state is, if they're getting the contract because they're promising to chip so much of the green waste or all of the green waste, but then they're taking a tree and they're putting it in regular trash, I think you've got a problem. All right?
Yep. Well, thank you. Can you send those pictures, Al? Can you, what email can we send those to?
Send
them
to mine.
Send them to yours? Okay.
Ma'am?
Yeah.
Got a question. Were you over 500 pounds?
I was over 500
well,
pounds.
That's right.
I was 800 pounds.
Yeah, you had to pay the difference.
Yes, I had to pay the difference. But I think we should be able to work something. To me, paying $18 isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
But I think to a lot of other people who don't even want to clean up their yard, now they're cleaning up and they're going down there and now they're getting charged. That's going to maybe make people dump in the desert.
Yeah, I think they had a problem this week because the compactor, I believe, was broken. The hole inside was just full of
it. Sure was.
Okay.
And that's what I told them. I said, I can't help it if your chipper is broken. That's not what your probably your contract says.
Well, I will make one comment. The price and the the amount that you can dump and all that doesn't stop them from dumping in the desert from feeling Pinyon Hills CSD.
No, I would have.
It doesn't stop them for a second.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't think that's a factor. But thank you.
Okay, well, thanks. Okay. Anyway.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Any other public comments? Okay.
I have a question about that, actually. I don't know if my mic's on. Does it sound like my mic's on? Oh, okay. I thought that...
No, we can't hear
no.
you.
No?
No, I don't think it is.
Switched on up here.
I thought that you were allowed to punch over one for your green waste. Is that not true?
No, just one punch.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is there anything we can do about that?
We don't... I mean, if we redo the contract with the county, yeah. But why would we want to? I mean, it's $85 a year for a dump card, which includes, which it's I think important to remember, which includes the weight and everything produced by CRNR. So that money to pay the transfer station comes out of that $85.14. If you have just an average amount of household waste, which is what the dump card is for, household waste, if you have an average amount of, let's say, I don't have the calculation in front of me, and I should have brought it because I knew there'd be dump card things today, right? But I promise I'll bring it for the next meeting so we can go, because it is very interesting, because you, even if you're a CNR customer, at the end of the year, you end up using almost that whole $85. And so the dump card is in addition to that. So it's really, you know, if you increase that, we'll be upside down on the solid waste.
So what was the point that she made in terms of what you're allotted for the year versus what you're allotted per delivery or dump or that kind of thing? I mean, what?
That makes a big difference.
That, like, local residents aren't going to do this every 2 weeks or every month. They're going to
clear
it out at one point and...
I have a couple answers for that.
Okay.
First of all, we have a green waste program up here that we fund, right? That the mm-hmm. CSD funds. And so that's a very successful program, and people should use that. They should use that, and that is unlimited. So do your cleanup. Do your... clean up at that time. How many times a year is this, John?
Twice
a year so far. So do it that twice a year. So
do you think that we have advertised that enough with our local residents, or?
I don't think we can possibly do it enough, but we do.
That actually is advertised because it was added to the dump card letter by, I believe, Al. Mm-hmm. When the dump card letter came out last week, there's actually a paragraph in there that actually addresses when those events are.
So it should solve that problem of you're cleaning up all your trash a couple times a year. Your green waste, you're cleaning up your yard twice a year. I'd like to see it three times, but that's okay. You know, twice a year, and the CSD kicks in money to that, so that they have money to get people out there and promote it. And
And the next one is September 6th and 7th?
It's a Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I believe it's the 6th and 7th.
Okay. I know, if I can speak, I know, and John and I have had eyes to eyes here at the Green Waste Place. I took huge advantage of it.
Can't hear you, Leo.
What's that?
Can't hear you.
I took, five trips over to the Green Waste on that Saturday. And I'll tell you, having it local, we could get more trips done quicker than going all the way down the field and
right.
coming back.
Yeah, that's so a that, good point.
If you plan it right, it's a 7-day, eight days. If you plan it right, I mean, I see it all day long across the street from the Grizzly, all day long, people in there.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about this too, but I thought are there 13 punches for green waste on the back of the dump card? I haven't looked at mine yet.
I think it's a legitimate point though that if you have 13 punches that you should be able to use more than one at a time.
Well, my point was that there's 13, then how do they determine what the, you know, there's 12 months, how do they, like in her case, the speaker, they could have used that 13th or the second punch because there's not 13 months.
That's what it seems like to me. They should be able to use their punches versus being charged. Because, realistically speaking, in this town, people are not going to drive down every month. There are certain months of the year where you have an enormous amount of pine needles or whatever it may be, and the rest of the year you got nothing.
There's only 12.
Is there a way for us, financially, to be able to allow people to do the majority of their dumping at one point versus spreading it out over the entire year?
My analysis of the, and the reason it's this way is because we did an analysis of the data before we got here. What the county was doing versus what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the county, even though they're basically the same rules that the county always had, but they just didn't enforce them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was out of control.
Yeah.
And it was scaring me to death. Because if in fact the CSD takes over that's like we did, we took over all that solid waste stuff. If it tips too much the other way, it will go upside down like that, and we'll be underwater.
Result of people being able to lump their deliveries, or I mean, if I have 13 deliveries and I use 3 of those like maximum weight or maximum amount in one delivery. Is that what you're saying?
The whole thing is that the transfer station is not very well managed. Okay?
Yeah.
They're not very well, and we had this example here today, right? They don't, even though they're required by Cal Recycle to do all this recycling, they don't. They don't do any of this stuff. We can tell the transfer station, hey, we want you to control this. We don't want any contractors in here putting in their demo projects and their contract, you know, because they're contractors, right?
Right.
Well, they were doing this for years. We had people on there, $1,500. They ran $1,500. They're paying $85.14, and they used $1,500 worth of dump fees. Okay, and this was not unusual. This was common, and they were doing this constantly. Even though the transfer station, even though the rules said don't do this, don't do that, it's not well managed. And so if we don't have these kind of limits on it, where we are very dependent on their management.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my take anyway.
All right. I appreciate that.
All right. Okay. Okay. Agency reports. We have any agencies here tonight? It's unusual. No?
President Zuber, can I make a comment?
Yeah.
In the packets when I posted them last Saturday, I believe it was.
Yeah.
There were 3 items that were not in the packets that are currently in your packets now. I'll make sure they're in your packets.
Okay.
One was the actuals, and Cecily Cummings got those to me, put that, and I believe the year end is in there as well.
Okay.
And then the resolution for the news and the resolution for the grant.
Okay.
But they're in order, so...
Okay.
It should flow easy.
Can we amend it on the website so that add that on there and say
yeah.
This is the amended material?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay. All right. Just so everybody gets that.
Sure.
Who maybe is not at the meeting. Okay. All right. No agencies, consent calendar. Somebody check the minutes?
Yeah, they were fine.
They were fine. All right.
Motion to approve the minutes.
And I have a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Consent calendar carries. 7, general manager's report. Al, you want to take over here?
I'll just kind of do what I always do. I try my best to write everything that I think of down.
Okay.
Technically, this is my last report, but who knows? If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer, but I think that covers pretty much everything.
Okay. Are the are we making individual dump cards okay and everything? Is that...
We're making individual dump cards, but where we're having a hiccup with, people would have multiple dwellings on a piece of property, like a piece of property
right.
or something of that sort.
Right.
But we're working on that right now.
Yeah, the Type 600s and the
right.
Yeah, the guys that get two dump cards.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, the database is not quite pulling that out.
Do you want the we could have Corey do that? Do you want that, or do you want another button that just does that export for just those, or what would you like?
I'm not quite sure, but I'll talk with Tammy on that and then get back with you or Corey.
Why don't you talk to Corey directly and he'll insert it into our daily meeting that we have at UIA and we can get that worked out, okay?
We can get that worked out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Item 8, Parks and Recreation.
Monica Ciccarelli. So Adolfo's softball is finished with 3 weeks. They have the course this coming Sunday. Pro-ed soccer, we have officially 4 teams that registered. After all of it, it looks like we'll net around $630. Children's flag football, the first game starts this coming Monday. We have 65 kids in registered
wow.
for it.
Ah,
so, yeah, Leo was right. So we have 4 teams in the 6-8 group, 2 teams in the 9-10 group, and 2 teams in the 11-plus group. And they're going to play mainly on Mondays. The 11-plus group will play on Wednesday night. I just finished training the 4 referees that we have for that right before this. We're still kind of dealing with the financials on that, but we're doing good so far. This weekend, we have Mountaineer Day. The Wrightwood CSC is offering a kids corner on the upper field. The Wrightwood Auto provided a sponsorship, as well as another sponsorship that was in there. And basically, there's going to be obstacle courses, slides, some games. Feel free to come out. It's going to be $5 a wristband for all day play. And so.
This is in the elementary school upper field,
and that'll be all day Saturday and all day Sunday.
Right.
So, as far as I know, last time I talked about collaborating with Laura Simon for the summer kids program, she decided to do that on her own, so we are not collaborating with her on it. I'm in the works talking with somebody about youth softball footage, teen activity nights out, like 1 or 2 nights a week. And then still working on the gravel rondo, which is fun. And the skate park, I know we're doing a skate park event for the Mountaineer Days as well with pharmacy. So, it's a small one. And then attached here, you'll see for Under Armour, Under the Light. I had started to see, and honestly, I don't fully remember a conversation on that one when I talked to you. I was at my other job, but I was kind of hoping that maybe over the next month you guys can look at the contract and see if it's something that you guys would be willing to consider to partner with Under Armour for the next flag football league that I would like to do maybe in winter. They would offer a lot of support as far as online registration and kind of consolidating things down so that it's not the gazillion hours that I put in to try to get all of that. I'm still trying to get all of that from people.
That's the Under the Lights flag football.
Yeah, and I believe their other name is Brothers in Arms LLC.
Okay.
So I just included the contract just so you guys could possibly look at it, since it's not necessarily something that needs to be done this minute.
But one of the items, or the last item, says, would the board be willing to consider allowing the CSC to take credit cards both in office and online? Is that something we can discuss tonight?
That is something that I would like to know if it can be possibly added to the next board meeting. For the next board agenda, because I believe that's something that needs like a resolution or a meeting.
Is that something that we need to postpone to the next meeting?
Yeah. If action is something that will be requested, the board's going to be requested to take action on something that we need to do.
So I would like to know if you guys were okay putting that on the next meeting for the agenda.
Okay.
And then attached, I also included the contract instructor proposal form. They mentioned it last meeting but forgot to include it. Just something to look at and see. I've had several people come up and say, hey, can I teach a class at the Parks and Recs Department because down the hill, pretty much all of the Parks and Recs Department offers something like this. And so I just figured I'd throw that in there and see if that's something that you guys would like to allow people to do, where you make a portion of it. And they make a portion, you make a portion, and they use the facility, and it's under the Parks and Rec, and they are also kind of under your insurance for doing it. So we have to further look at the logistics, but it's something that maybe you guys should look at.
What's the percentage or what's the breakdown of their income is versus the CFC?
So what I was looking at, and you guys can look at this and we can discuss it more, it doesn't have to be decided tonight at all, is 65, if they're doing it in the building and everything like that, 65% would go to them and 35% would go to us. If they were doing it outside of the building, like on something on their own facility, it would be 75%, 25%. So, if they weren't taking it to the building.
Okay. All right.
Any questions?
Do we need to address that tonight?
No.
I was just thinking. I just wanted you guys to look at it.
No, we could add it for the agenda next month.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you very much, Monica. All right, June financials. Hoping you looked at that, Chuck.
I haven't had a chance to look at it.
I got a question out. When's that audit due? When's that supposed to be back? Do you know?
Actually, I got an email today on that. Han got a hold of the state, and they basically said, "Well, just get it to them when we can."
Yeah.
They're pretty good with the they know what the progress is.
Yeah.
And they just said, "Well, you know, they're really close to finalizing it." So just,
okay.
It should probably be. We have another meeting with them coming out.
With Hong? With the EDP?
With EDP next Wednesday.
Okay.
But what they're doing also is they're also doing the second year at the same time.
That's neat.
They've got the first year down pretty darn complete, and they're. I'm not sure where their progress is in the second year, but they were doing the second year as well.
They're not going to bill us right now for that, though, right?
They'll bill you whenever they can.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure when they will.
Yeah, okay.
I did get a couple bills today on the first year, and that's about it.
Okay. All right.
On the disbursements, Al, the first credit card charge on 6-3 with Best Buys, you have the district camera for $565, mm-hmm. but later on in the packet you talk about getting a whole system from either UIA or who is it, Turner?
Well, that's two different things. We have a camera, a regular camera to use. Like when I do the grant work, I have to take pictures of buildings and everything.
That's a picture camera.
It's a regular camera.
Not a video.
Oh.
No, it's a regular camera.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And we can use it for like the softball, baseball, whatever. And
what is that, like an SLR or something? I mean, that seems like a phone is pretty good nowadays.
not for what we need to do. But the other is a security camera system.
Yeah. Okay.
And all the equipment purchases, which was like $2,400, is that for, I know you said in your thing that was that you had a few extra purposes. Is this done for today, or is this going to last for next month or two or whatever? Because we have it from Mountain Hardware, Park Supplies, Uline, Park Equipment.
A lot of stuff like Uline and stuff. Those are actually signs that we put up. We put more signage to help people in the parking areas, because there's still people smoking where they shouldn't be.
Right.
And so on and so forth. We bought some ashtrays for the people in the smoking areas so they can use those ashtrays. We bought some other equipment that this, you know, it's going to be a long
time. So it's more, so wait a minute, so more no smoking signs?
Actually, we had plenty, so we took care of that, but
oh.
we have
people are still smoking
that are showing the designated smoking area.
Where is that?
The designated smoking area is the Veterans Park.
Okay. I haven't seen those signs to start by that. I think.
I see the non-smoking.
I see non-smoking, but I don't
but see people are still smoking there?
Designated smoking area.
Of course.
Well, so on the smoke, I mean, we have to wear vests all over the place.
So what about during events like, for instance, last week, Music in the Pines, that whole Vivian Knoll area was just bombarded by kids. That was kind of the kids' area.
Correct.
And that's also the smoking area?
No.
What did I misunderstand?
The Veterans Park is up here.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I apologize. I just collapsed Vivian Knoll and Veterans Park.
That's okay. No problem.
Thank you. Got it. Okay.
There's a long way to keep them together.
Yes. But there's a big distance between them in that case. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions about the June financials? Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No.
Listen, we'll take our time.
Now,
hold everything up.
Cecilia is here, so I'm asking questions about her fantastic work that she does. Feel free to ask.
Question under second page 5180 services 5180.2 sports league, and then under parks and lighting it has like $4,000. What is that all actually lighting, or is that just the category in which we? I'm on page 202, and it's item 51. Where was I?
You're referring to
5180.
You're referring to Cecilia's question. Yes.
Sure. Page 14 in our packet.
5180.
Okay. And under Earth of Services, and then there is 5180.2 with Sports League. And softball under Parks and Lighting is $4,000. Is that all actual lighting, or is that simply an amount we put under that category?
I think that we talked about this last month too.
Oh,
was
I saw
something
that.
From the auditors, or that was their headings.
I really couldn't give you the breakdown at the moment.
Okay.
If you'd like
so that's the auditor's breakdown, or that's the auditor's categorization. Okay.
Yeah, for some reason they put those, you know, and then solid waste.
I think it's because they don't have any more columns. They don't have parks and rec. They don't have.
I don't know, but we talked about it last month too. I never figured out why, but
we don't have a breakdown of what that item represents. We don't know what that $4,000
represents.
We don't know what the invoices are or whatever that is.
Not at the moment. No.
Okay. Could we get that?
It'd be great to understand, because to me it's misleading or confusing, one of the two, to consider $4,000 for parks and lighting. That means rent and lighting, and that seems excessive.
Well, no, okay, all right. So I do remember this from last time. Okay, this the way that they do this accounting, since it's this government accounting method, they've got to split it up into these two categories. They're parks. You got to split it up into these two cost areas, these two cost categories. I think it'd be useful to have Hong come up here and explain this to us.
I'd like a breakdown of that. It's $4,000 for what's
the. Well, I mean, the $4,000 is a separate issue. That what I'm saying is these are just two sort of master sections of all the entire accounting system.
Right.
But this $4,000 isn't necessarily under
lighting,
parks and lighting or whatever. It's
exactly.
Just that it's under softball.
That's a breakdown I'd like to see, is what it really belongs.
That's softball. Yeah. Well, The lighting, okay, just to try to alleviate some of this confusion, the lighting with what is being referred to here, lighting is street lights.
Well, but
what's that got to do with softball on the right?
It doesn't. That's the point.
Do you can I explain? I probably can explain.
Okay, you want to come to the mic?
We gotta have your own record.
I actually probably can explain it as well as Han because I am an accountant. The parks and lighting is allocation. You have two contracts. You have street lights and parks, and you have a contract for the solid waste. You have to allocate your expenses. You can't be allocated to all one or the other. Some are 50-50, some are 75-25, some are 100%. If you have softball expenses for soccer, which are classes for the individuals, that would be $4,000. Not for parks or lighting for softball. That would be under your utilities. These would be classes that would be taught for that particular thing. If you have dues and membership, you're going to split your dues and membership a little bit to, you're going to allocate some of the expense to parks and lighting, and you're going to allocate some of the expenses to solid waste.
Why are parks and lighting grouped together? I understand parks and rec, and then I understand our street lights. But our street lighting has nothing to do with lighting up the right way.
They were both part of CSA 56.
That's the way
right.
The contract was then. And so that also allows us when we do and put the state report together, you have to put it in a certain way, whether it's government-wide, enterprise, or for fiduciary. You have to put them in that way. You can't have parks, lighting, they're both basically the same thing. They're all for one. Solid waste is enterprise, it's making money.
I'm sorry. I apologize for my ignorance. No, I don't understand how parks and lighting are related. Lighting is our street lights.
Right.
Parks and rec is an entirely different area. And our parks and rec, when we're playing on the Redwood Field, Redwood Field, is not related to our street lighting. So why are they lumped together and solid waste is separate?
Because parks and lighting are not enterprise. They are for the community. Both of them are for community.
Oh, okay.
Is it safe to say that one is an income generating area, like you mentioned?
Yes.
Like solid waste is income generating. We get that from taxes. So that's income generated. So these are the expenses against that if it's in this column.
Right.
Okay. But on this side over here, we're saying, look, this goes in the non income generating side.
Yeah, and you may have income that is in there, but you won't have income in excess.
Yeah.
Of what? You may have some income.
Yeah.
Some years.
So there's some kind of levels that we have that say this triggers it. This now becomes enterprise because it's of this other this income breaks through this barrier.
Right. And this is what the way Edie and Payne had discussed it to break these two allocations out. Not this
is from the state.
Yeah.
So this helps provide the state report. Because when we do the state report, we don't just put just this in. You have to break it down into all these various categories.
So I guess what I'd like to see is we have three, four different areas that we are in charge of and funding. I'd like to see each of those as a line item. I understand that the state, the county is asking for something different. But in terms of our breakdown financially, parks and lighting don't go together. They actually, in my mind, and perhaps I'm ignorant here, have some specifics. They're not related. Lighting has to do with our street lighting, and parks and rec has to do with recreational programs, sports programs, that kind of stuff. Is there a way? I understand you're you're trying to get in here with what the auditing firm is doing.
And we can do that, but it would be then we could start that with the new year.
Okay.
On that, because to try to go backwards would.
Oh, I don't need us to go backwards, but in the future, I don't know how the rest of the board feels. I'd like to see our areas of responsibility, each of them delineated in a separate column rather than, because parks and lighting, for me, are not related. We have Parks and Rec, we have lighting, we have solid waste.
Well, I think part of the question is, we don't know what this really, I mean, I don't care about the category, but you care about the expense, right? Like, what is this $4,000 under softball?
But without the specific category, we don't understand what that was.
No, it doesn't matter, because this number is not going to change. It's $4,000. I don't care if you put it on this side or that side or split it. It's still the same. It's still a $4,000 expense. It doesn't matter. In this case, it's 100% allocated to this class, but it doesn't matter what class it's allocated to. If you just look at this from traditional accounting even, just forget about the class, right? You just look at the expense and go, hey, this is a $4,000 expense under softball. What was that? Isn't that really the question?
Kind of, but if we are funding Monica's salary, if we are funding a Parks and Rec salary...
But that's not going to change.
I think Parks and Rec needs to be delineated from every other category. If we're trying to create Parks and Rec funding,
okay.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding your
question. Yeah, it's right here. I mean, it says sports league, softball.
Absolutely.
Hey, what is that $4,000? That's really what you're asking.
Yeah.
And we'll get you the breakdown.
That is what matters.
I'm really asking what it has to do with life. I understand what it has to do
just,
with
just, parking. You know what, just go like this. Just go, just say to yourself, it has nothing to do with lights.
So, wouldn't it be more useful to have a...
It doesn't, no.
We want to create a Parks and Rec budget, ultimately, which has been a discussion for the last, like, 6 months.
But all you're doing is moving this...
Don't we need the financials on that?
But all you're doing is moving this number around. It's in the financials. It's the same number.
But it's under Parks and Lighting, not Parks and Rec.
It doesn't...
Two of our four areas.
It is. It's under softball, right there. It's under softball.
Absolutely. You're right. But
it's right there.
Then it's under Parks and Lighting, isn't it?
No, that's a heading that you don't even...
It's just a heading that doesn't mean a thing.
That's government. Cross it out. Don't mean anything.
So you're just looking at the total.
You're looking at this $4,000 going,
now
what is this for?
What I would like to see, though, is Monica put her thing out where, you know, they have the... amount that they charge.
Okay.
This is the income that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
This is the expense.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look on the income side for that.
Yeah, but it would be nice to say, okay, well, I've got what, 7,000 here, and where's the softball?
Yeah, services.
So you've got softball and sports league. So we're saying that there's 7,000.
135.
And 135.
Plus
is that, and this is expense, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So we had $7,000 worth of expense. $7,135.
Right. I'd love to see that broken down versus Monica's
right
stuff. I'd like to see that. That's all.
No,
I understand. You know, here I've already crossed off lighting and parks. Just cross it off.
Give me a pen. I'll cross it off. All right. Here we go.
State to take a hike.
So can we?
Hold it.
Uh oh.
That was on record, Jack.
Can we so we can get the breakdown of that, because I do get a little concerned when you have the other category. I never like that, you know, or when the other starts to pass up the...
What happens with that is it will show other, and then we usually do, but sometimes trying to do the turnaround when the month end is a day before.
Yeah.
No, of course.
You have to go through and say, okay, which one didn't hit the right line item? It should be in there.
Yeah. Well, my guess is that this is probably demanding another chart here, another chart of accounts entry.
It should, because you have now soccer. When you first started,
yeah,
doing,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
now, you have football, soccer,
and
baseball.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
those all have to be added.
Yeah. Okay.
Would it be, I think to your point, Michelle, if you had another column here on revenue.
That's what I want, yeah.
Well, the revenue's on the other side over here.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
it'd be nice to have it all on the same page,
yeah,
honestly. But
that's what
it's all here. We can put it all together.
See, is this the stuff that you did, or is this the stuff that the auditors from the state did?
It's a combination of the auditors and myself,
okay,
and him. So all three of us work on these financials.
Okay, is there, I know that it's, you got to have this type of
type of a format, I guess, for the state and the audit type of thing. Is there one we can get, you know, it's like...
You just want a straight P&L.
Yeah,
P&L.
I don't see, I really...
We can just...
That would be much easier than when we have to do that. And if you want specific type of reports, we can do this a lot better now that we're on desktop than when it was online. Online was very, very difficult.
Right.
And so I can provide you with a P&L, which would be an overview, then break it down to the government reporting, and then any other ones that you want.
Like on this one, where would our independent contractors' payment show up?
Well, that would be, that actually depends on what the services were for. You don't just
our parks and rec coordinator.
That would probably be under the
debt service.
No, it would probably be under the what is the softball, right? What sports league? Sports league.
Yeah, so we think that's part of the 7,000,
right?
Wait,
that's part of the money. That's also her salary.
But if you
love to see that out of mind.
But if you look at the income side, okay? If you look at the income side, on one of two, that's where the income is. See where it's ordinary income? That's where all the income is.
Yep.
Okay, so that's 18,670. The income against that is what it would be.
It's on the
4,400.
Just before total income.
Yeah. 4,400. Okay. 18,670. Okay, that's the revenue. So that includes all of the registration fees and sponsorship.
Everything.
That's everything. Now.
Well, and sponsorship, you know.
Yeah. Now
they're putting money in, whatever.
If we want to see any time. You want to see more detail, it's possible to add another chart of accounts and put it underneath there, a sub-account.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to see, hey, here's our one-time, here's the recurring, as an example. I don't necessarily think we have to, but, you know, it's 18,870. If that's your question, Chuck, like, hey, what are we taking on income? You know, there it is.
We may not need...
I understand that, and I think what Michelle is also asking is on the 71... 80,
yeah.
Where we break it down, and you've got the softball at 4 and the sports leagues at 3. That's 7,130. Soccer is 369, so the total expenses are 7,750. And one of the questions was, where is Michelle? How much of that 7,750 is there? I'm sorry, Monica's salary.
Well, I think we already said let's get the breakdown for that. You're
going
to provide us with the breakdown.
Yeah,
line
items in there as it becomes as we are able to add the line items, we become a little more sophisticated.
That would based on
that's
what
right.
they have.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is you don't want to add in a ton of line items and have all zeros.
And it just doesn't mean anything after that.
I totally agree with that. I think right now where my mind is that we are in this preliminary kind of, I guess, trial stage with the whole parks and rec coordinator thing. So I would love to see specific financials around that. We want to make sure that generating income, but also that Monica is getting paid appropriately, et cetera. And when we have another... when it comes back on the agenda.
Well, how about this? Is there? I mean, we have invoices that back all this stuff up, and we have all that. So, so let's could we just get that produced somehow? We can include it in the next packet.
Right.
It just has all the invoices, and on the income side, we show all the different income and how that breaks down.
Because on the income, we could break it down by the three.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And specifically, I just like to see for Parks and Rec. I'd like to see Parks and Rec delineated or separated from lighting or anything else such that because we have a Parks and Rec coordinator and we talked about the lack of a Parks and Rec budget, et cetera, I think we need to start really getting on top of the specifics.
Yeah.
I grabbed it on the other page, not this one.
My concern basically is I think Monica is just shortchanging herself. I think she's doing a hell of a lot more time. type of situation.
Okay, well, let's listen. Let's not speculate. Let's just get the stuff.
Get our numbers.
Right.
Get the stuff, and we'll reveal it.
Okay.
Okay. Is Monica still here? Okay.
All right. Okay. So you could get that over to Al, and then Al, could you distribute that?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just a big PDF.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Lori Golden, I had a question on page 13. There's an auto pay for what line item? It's page 13.
Right.
It's about, I don't know, two-thirds of the way down. It's an auto pay for $60 for $622.
Is this the disbursement page?
Yeah, the disbursement.
Yes, okay.
Can you tell us
okay.
what the, like, it's page 13. It's the disbursement page. It's
okay.
Before that.
Oh. Okay. I got, like, four pages between 13 and 15.
It's on June 22nd.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For
QuickBooks.
Correct.
Okay. It's an auto pay. I thought that you guys weren't paying that anymore since you went to the desktop version. It looks like it's the...
That was an overlay.
I'm just going to guess that it's the last month.
Yeah, that's just an overlay.
It's just an overlay. Okay, just checking.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Well, all right, that's June financials. All right, thank you. Thanks for doing that. Okay, item 10. Resolution of appreciation for John and Elaine Lanou, Community Service District. Discussion and possible action. All right. John, let's turn to that.
Where did this resolution come from? From Alco. I very much appreciate that you submitted this. I didn't stand up.
So you finally, your house sold and everything?
Yeah.
No, I'm not happy.
No, that's what that meant.
This is what it means, yeah.
When are you leaving?
You're leaving? No, I object.
Today? All in favor, say hi.
He's so happy.
Where are you moving to? You're moving to San Diego?
No.
I tell you, you're not watching.
We want to know.
Rialto.
Oh, that's close enough, John.
I have no comment. Okay.
Well, congratulations.
Well, John, I don't even know what to say. I mean, you've just been a
well, maybe I can say something. I've been telling all of you for a whack of weeks, but I really, really want to thank the board because, you know, here you've been, what, this 2 years coming on now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years, and, you know, we started off with nothing, and many of us attended these meetings for the last 2 years to see, you know, get things on an even keel, and they're really working well. And so I just really like to compliment the board on sticking with it and doing what you feel is right for our community. And I'm sure that all of us really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Come to the mic.
Oh, yes.
Would you say that again, Terry? I didn't hear you.
It's like a
photo
op. With you guys.
Yes.
Put it on record.
Yeah.
Should we notify the city of Rialto?
We've already done that.
Oh, okay, good.
We started working.
West is the Spectre's good. Come on, Spectre is good. So the west, this way. So the curtain's behind you. Thank you.
Watch your step.
That's really bad.
She's going to come back up for the meeting.
Right?
So,
she'd like to
take it. I'm going to plug this for a second.
Where do you want
it? Is that John?
This is John.
Can you hold it?
Oh, hold on, dear.
There we go. All right. Come on in.
Pretty smile.
Up
take several, and I promise everybody will look awesome.
Thank you very much.
So, John, do you know, I know I spoke with Lynn Crawford about a fundraising idea for the Village Trail, and I know they raffled off, I think, a quilt the other night at the Museum of Science. Do you know if there was any substantial money made on that? I didn't check that about it.
I know nothing at all about that. I haven't heard of it. On the next, the property owners have taken over the trail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so we have people that are checking with Camp Center to see if the weeds get cut.
Okay.
We've got a lady, Lori Piccolotti, who's make sure that all the doggy bag dispensers are filled.
Right.
And so I know that the board, we kicked around for a year or so about whether the board could take over part of that, but I think it's working out best with the property owners. And like we talked about the sports league funds, maybe one of these days some of that might be able to come back to the property owners to help maintain the trail.
Well, I just think it's terrific news that the property owners has got that going. I think that's really great.
Thank you.
John, thank you for all
thank
of
you.
Your work. All
yeah,
of your
thank
work.
You.
Right. Thank you, John.
I think you have been a valuable asset to these meetings in the past 2 years.
You didn't mention the monument, John.
Okay. All right. All those in favor? Can I have a motion to accept the resolution 2019-09?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The resolution is approved.
He's up again.
Okay, item 11, review of Brightwood Historical Society facility use agreement. This is something I think you've been working on, Steve.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. First of all, congratulations to the board. It was 2 years yesterday that you've been on the board. So congratulations for that. At the last meeting, staff brought this item to the board, and the direction that was given by the board at that time was to redo the lease using the district as the successor to the county. With the only change for which the board gave direction, dealt with the insurance provision, Section 15, to bump that $500,000 limit to $1 million. In drafting that lease, and I had committed to give it to my assistant to redraft at no charge to the district. But in converting it to the district as a party, there's certain things that came up that need further direction from the board on as to how you want to handle certain provisions. And maybe the best way to do it is go through step by step. Some of the comments on the right margin are mine that I sent to your general manager, and your general manager responded back. So you see kind of a conversation between myself and Al on the right, on the right hand side.
Who's blue and who's pink?
Excuse me?
Who is blue and who is pink or red?
He's the pink.
I'm pink.
The blue.
You're
blue.
I'm pink and
thanks.
Al is blue. So the first comment is the staff report from the county identified this as a lease agreement. Probably a better term would be a facility use agreement.
Right.
To terminate a lease is a lot more difficult than to terminate a facility use agreement. You have to go through an unlawful detainer. So I would recommend that it be a facility use agreement.
I think we all agree.
Agree.
Yeah.
Section 1 indicates that the agreement would supersede all previous agreements, including two other agreements that we weren't party to that I haven't even seen.
Yeah.
My suggestion there would be that we just have a blanket statement that this agreement would supersede all other agreements.
Yeah. Agreed.
The premises, there's section two, there is a comment, I think, from Al
that I'll speak to better than I can, dealing with the cabin and some infestation there. So maybe I'll can talk about that part.
Okay.
Well, the only thing I can really bring up is that in this packet, we also have the original agreement and not interpretation of, but just the original agreement. And in that, it talks about how the Historical Society will be able to use the facilities, the grounds, that type of thing. This cabin of reference is basically something that the Historic Society built. I don't know if it was permitted or not.
It's just an outdoor cabin, like a storage
thing? It's actually not used for storage. It's used for demonstration or perhaps
displays.
Displays, there you go. That's
where?
It's
where?
A manufactured shed that was installed.
And it's behind the museum.
The west?
So the question is, are we responsible for that? Are they responsible for that? Because there is a bug infestation in there. It's actually a big pine tree. It's probably one of the oldest pine trees in the area. Is growing out and starting to rub up against this facility. Who's responsible for this? For that facility, that
ending. I mean, for the upkeep of the shed or the tree?
Well, the tree's ours, but the shed's
ours. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Or do we just consider the shed ours?
I would think it would be the district's ours. What's your recommendation?
I really don't have one.
It sounds like the thing is ruined. Is it ruined or?
I wouldn't say it's ruined.
No, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
What's the stuff about the infestation? What's that?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Al, but a few months ago, Al had a tree arborist come, and he determined that, in his opinion, that there was maybe some bugs in there, whether they be termites or bark beetles or whatever. The trees, we put logs on the outside of it years ago, so they've been on there a long, long time. So I suggested to Al that we just, if there's a concern there, we'll just have it tented or frozen or whatever with a termite company and just have that way the bugs will be gone.
Wasn't that part of the property that was deeded to the CSD?
Yeah, it's all part of
the old firehouse.
Correct. But also, this particular structure is on top of where our septic tank is.
Right.
And we have no access to our septic tank.
Well, we assume the septic tank is there.
No, we know it is there.
Oh, you know it's there.
When was the last time the septic tank was serviced?
40 years ago.
I really don't know the answer to that question.
Right.
But last year we had a septic control come out. They located it with a monitor. That they put into the system and it's like a bobber, and it basically gave us the exact location of where the system is.
So my understanding of septics is that if the leach lines work correctly, it shouldn't really need to be pumped. But if they don't, they get clogged. That's when it needs to be pumped.
Well, so that puts volume.
So it sounds like because there's low volume there, and then perhaps it's all working properly, it just hasn't needed to be serviced.
Yeah. Well, like you said, very low volume,
Yeah.
And we close it every Saturday, so the public does not even use it on Saturdays.
But it's really the museum. It's the people running the museum that are using that same septic system, right?
Of course.
Okay.
Well, and then the firehouse, I mean, you have people there all the time.
Is the display being used? So it is
being used. Every week.
Okay. Is the shed, there's...
Yes, yes. All the exterior is used every Saturday.
Who's going to pay to get rid of the termites, I guess? What's that? Who's going to do that?
Well, I kind of like Chuck's idea. Belongs to CSD. Part of the property. The county took care of the outside when it was their facility.
our property, it seems like something we
should. It was deeded to us.
We should.
And it's our property, right?
Which also means that we can move it at our discretion.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's really the issue is.
Okay.
How do we allocate the responsibility and entitlement?
Certainly doesn't seem like a historical society's responsibility. It seems like ours if we're managing the property.
I would agree.
Okay, so we would have responsibility, but also would have the ability to move.
Sure.
If we have the responsibility, we have the right to do whatever we want.
Yeah. And if it needs to be removed, the station or subject, then we got to do it.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
That's under lighting and parks.
About solid waste and sewers.
All right, thank you for that direction.
Thank you, John.
Section 3 term, we need a new start date. I don't know what the board has targeted a particular date that you have in mind for when this agreement might take effect.
Maybe just arbitrary, right? And it should maybe, yeah.
That just takes place immediately.
We can make it even July 31st. We'd probably have it done by then.
Okay.
I think it should be as soon as possible.
Okay.
All right. Al had a comment on number 5, shared facilities.
And basically the comment is that when the museum is working very balanced, 10-4, I believe it is.
Correct.
The whole facility is being utilized by the Historic Society, and there's no public access from outside unless you go in through the Historic Society.
Okay.
And there's a restroom there that's being locked to help kind of keep the flow of things down and to be a deterrent, from what I understand, to be a deterrent from people who bring food in and use that center room for a snack room or something like that. So the question is,
there really wasn't a question. It was more just kind of a statement.
Yeah, it's more of a statement.
If that's a problem or if there needs to be discussion we need to have about that.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're referring to as far as food when we're open on Saturdays. What's the question? What's the statement? What's the concern?
Well, you told me that people from the pizza place go in there and make a mess, and you don't like it, so you try to deter them.
I think what was happening was that during a high volume on Saturdays, when people would come over to the pizza parlor to order food, that they would say, tell people, well, they have a bathroom next door, so go use that. Yeah, because they don't have a bathroom facilities at the pizza parlor.
Mm.
And so we thought, and of course we've had a couple of overflows there, and thousands of dollars worth of damage over the years. And so the county and us just decided to
not accepting them.
Pardon?
The overflows were not accepting your funding, correct?
Yes. Not accepting.
Broken pipes.
So the county decided that we would just put an out of order sign on the door every Saturday, which we do. And then we refer to people to the facilities here at the community building. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Either that or charge Daryl.
Good idea.
Bring in a porta potty.
Yeah.
Okay. So if the board's okay with that, we can go on to item 6.
Great.
This provision refers to the parties operating in accordance with an operating plan that is described as Attachment A. There is no Attachment A to the agreement. And so I don't know if anyone has that operating plan, if there ever was one.
Whatever Al has, there is all we've ever had.
Yeah, we don't have an Attachment A.
There's no Attachment A. All we have is the staff report and the agreement.
I think we just get rid of it.
Okay. So there isn't any attachment. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a facilities use agreement. It's like all the other ones go through here every year. They have to reapply.
Well, we could put in there that they would need to comply with the district's rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So I think we would have that already in section 13. Okay, so no attachment A.
Okay.
Next section 7, Al had a question about this alteration provision. And that is, does that mean that the society can make structural alterations to the museum premises?
Not structural.
Without the approval of the board.
Not structural.
Okay. So we'll have a no alteration provision in there.
No alteration. Okay.
How about you adding that structural word to it? You know, just say no. You know, we can't even move a picture without your approval.
That's up to the board.
No, it's no. I think it's. I think structural. We would want structural.
Structural.
No structural alteration.
Yeah. Right.
Building.
Is this? Can this agreement be canceled? I mean, what is the? Can it be canceled any time? What's the?
Yeah. So back to the termination provision.
Yeah.
Either party may terminate this agreement by giving 60 days written notice to the other party.
Yeah.
So
I think that covers it. Yeah.
Steve, was that the way it was originally?
Yeah, that's the way it was originally. This entire document, I have not made any changes to the text at all. So, and all of the questions and concerns are on the margin on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Maintenance. Again, there's the reference to operating plan. We don't have that operating plan. Al's comment mentions agreement 00708, but I think that's the staff report. That's not an agreement, and that's just the report that the county staff had given to the board of supervisors at the time they presented the agreement.
Well, so, can we have something in here under maintenance that would say that they agree to keep things in good working order, and any problems with it's that we want that reported immediately or reported in maybe a certain number of days.
I'm not quite sure where it sits in here. Perhaps Mr. Kenny, you could help me on that. But there's part of this agreement basically emphasized that in lieu of payment, that normal routine maintenance and that type of thing would be taken on by the Historic Society. But we really don't have an explanation of that. You know, custodial work and maintenance.
No, there isn't any reference.
Yeah, so the normal everyday maintenance just not defined anywhere.
No.
I mean, probably do need to get that defined, right?
I agree. I mean, this is.
Can you help us define that, John? Do you know what the normal maintenance that you do there is? That can you work with Al maybe on that?
Yes. We didn't do that, but yes, we vacuum most every week. And we also vacuum the meeting room because people do walk through there. So, and if we see, like I've done over the years, if I see spots on the carpet, why I get my Resolve spray out, spray it, scrub them all up. So Tammy doesn't have to do it.
I think we do.
And we clean outside, pine needles, pine cones.
Yeah.
And we clean the breezeway.
Okay.
And we clean the cigarette butts.
The windows.
We've done it periodically.
I mean, it's just that sort of stuff needs to be defined so that whoever's there doesn't say, hey, you know, CSD's got to clean the windows here, you know.
I've let our board know that the CSD does not do those kind of maintenance suggests in the meeting room where these people vacuum and clean and we'll do the bathroom.
Can we get all that defined? Can we get all that just written down in a list, Al?
Sure.
I mean, just to say, okay, look, this is yours and this is ours.
Okay.
That would be, that's a good idea, Mr. President. My suggestion would be that I can draft up the language of the agreement that would create a placeholder for Mr. Lanoue and Mr.
Okay.
Morissette to break all that down as
okay.
Exhibit A.
Great.
That would be the Exhibit A.
Okay, great.
That'd be the missing exhibit A.
That would be the new thing, isn't it?
Okay.
Now, in that, if there's repairs like window cranks, that type of thing, I think we should have that in there. But, you know, what does the board consider that part of things to be?
It would be, and I've seen this in other places, it would say normal wear and tear, the CSD would take care of stuff beyond, something that breaks. Let's say a window crank breaks. I think that's kind of the CSD's problem, right?
Mm-hmm. But the blinds, we've had issues with the blinds breaking.
We'll just take them off.
We need to get the kind of windows that have the glass, the blinds within the windows.
Good idea.
Triple paint.
Yeah, I think we need that above a normal wear and tear. They would get hit for that, right? If they abused it in some way.
So what do we have for this building right now? Don't we have a cleaning deposit and a security deposit that people that are renting the building have to do?
For the meeting space, but not for the museum.
No, I understand that, but we just changed the contract to a facilities use agreement, which is basically, they've never paid a dime other than cleaning it up. Is that correct? To your knowledge, Al.
To my knowledge, correct.
Yeah, they've never, so it's not like a quote, real lease type of situation.
Yeah, they've always taken pretty good care of it. It's been trouble-free, right? So I think...
Just the normal...
Yeah, just the normal language for that, and we can pull that from somewhere, right, Steve?
Okay, sure.
All right, Section 8 is normal assignment and subletting. They can't do that.
Yeah.
Volunteer workers, again, this mentions San Bernardino County policy manual that the parties would comply with. Of course, we don't have that. So the question came up from Al, which I thought was a good one, is can we require that they have workers' comp, that the volunteers have workers' comp?
How's that work?
What?
It is possible that does happen, where there is a workers' comp policy that is available that says to the extent that the volunteers are deemed to be employees for purposes of the services that they provide, that they would have, that there would be some coverage there.
So do we have to register every single volunteer that's ever going to serve in that position?
No, it's an umbrella.
There's just a million ways to kill good deeds, isn't there?
It's a good deed until it goes bad, and then everyone turns around and says, well,
"Oh my God."
I thought the whole premise of volunteers is that that's one of those things.
Can we just put "you are on your own" right here?
we could put. Well, there is language that we could put that way.
A hold harmless in there. I mean, if we had a hold harmless for volunteers, wouldn't that?
We would have a hold harmless. We do have a hold harmless in Section 14.
Does that cover the volunteers though? Mention it specifically?
That covers. It says they will indemnify and hold harmless the district, and of course the county, which we don't need, from any and all costs, liabilities, or claims out of any act or omission of the society, its employees, volunteers, agents, or invitees.
Okay.
But if there was some injury that occurred, then who would be responsible?
The individual organization.
Which could be us. So that's where, I guess, the question comes. How do we protect
But they hold their own interest.
But the hold harmless doesn't have any effect on that,
Hold harmless would require them to indemnify and defend for their own actions. If there was injury that occurred independent of any action, for instance, there was some sort of hole in the floor, someone tripped over, fell into, and that could be the negligence of...
Could we raise the bar on this, similar to a ski resort, and that protection we have from the state of California that says, hey, you, you know, just like you sign when you go to the ski resort, mm-hmm. and it says, hey, you understand that you're doing this as a volunteer,
yes,
and
that's an assumption of the risk, and
right.
the release. You get it when I was at Dodger Stadium a couple of weeks ago, and it's the same thing. You get that, the back of the stub has that standard language in it.
Right.
So, and it is as effective as it can be, but of course it's not 100%.
Well, nothing's on. Well, I'm talking to the attorney, who's never going to say it. I mean, there's nothing 100%.
Correct.
But isn't that pretty good? If we had them sign a waiver, if we said in here, look, if you have volunteers, they got to sign a waiver.
I'm a little confused. So, for instance, I run a co-op out of this building. I have my own insurance policy. If something happens to one of my volunteers, my insurance policy covers it.
Okay.
For the Redwood Historical Society, they carry their own insurance policy, right?
Correct.
So I don't understand, I guess, why the volunteers should be any different in that situation. Why we are covering these costs, but they're volunteers for that society, shouldn't it fall under their insurance?
I don't think so.
I guess
the question is whether there would be a workers' comp policy that would provide additional coverage, sort of a belt and suspenders type of a coverage, that in the event that the type of liability was one that would not be one that would otherwise be covered under the policy, that you've got a workers' comp, an umbrella workers' comp deal that doesn't cost anything if there are not employees. The question comes up is if there were employees, the society actually employed someone that was determined to be an employee for purposes of under state law. The state law has become a lot more stringent upon what is an employee versus an independent contractor versus what is a volunteer. The cases have been coming down. The Dynamex case came down 4 months ago, which really laid down a new standard of what is an employee, created the ABC test, a three-part test, and that makes it much more difficult for entities to claim someone as an independent contractor. When we drafted Monica's agreement, we had to carefully craft it so that she was not an employee. To the extent that the society does something that would alter the relationship internally between them, that would deem an otherwise someone that we would consider a volunteer, an employee, that would then, for which there would not be protection under the insurance policies, that would be something that the district could potentially be liable.
But this is an employee that the Historical Society would be hiring, right? Not us.
No, correct.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
So the requirement, let me be clear, the requirement would be that they would have to cover it, not anything that the district would cover. The issue is that they would, to the extent that they have an employee, they would be bound to have workers' compensation. That's all it would say.
But through their insurance or ours?
Correct.
Theirs.
But I think what Steve is trying to say is that if they pierce that, right? Like it's not, for example, that insurance says, hey, we'd like the CSD also involved in this deal because it was very negligent. And then they pierce that and they go down a level, which happens. So they get your insurance company and they get the underlying insurance company also. Right? That's right.
Correct.
Isn't that right?
That's correct.
They hire attorneys.
Yeah.
So
it's not something that's applicable to groups like, say, the co-op or other groups that rent this facility.
It is. So Steve is asking, should we have additional coverage in case they do that? I say no, because it doesn't matter. If we line up 50 insurance companies, they just sue them all. If you have one insurance company, they just sue the one.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
I would agree with that one.
Yeah. Question?
Yeah.
That's all the question.
Yeah, okay.
Could it be worded, Steve, so that the board would, the Historical Society would have to come to the board to hire an owner-operator or an independent contractor or what prior to any work being done on the facility?
Yeah, that's something like that. Yeah, that's
approval.
Yeah.
And we're going to cover it, certainly.
No, we're not covering it. We're not covering
it.
The only language that is being, that was on the table was whether or not we want the society to be bound to cover it in, to the extent that they have an employee.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's put the language on there. But then what I'm hearing the compromise language is we don't necessarily need to go that far with that type of language, but society would let the board know if there's any change.
Okay.
On section 13, we'll make the change that the society will comply with all of the district rules and regulations rather than county rules and regulations.
Right. Yep.
Section 14, I don't think the society needs to indemnify the county of San Bernardino anymore.
Right.
And then the rest is... Al did have questions that on the last sentence on 14, society agrees herewith to have volunteer agreements signed in duplicate to be on file in the museum and at the office of the district. So that was how county handled this issue, was that everyone that was a volunteer, my guess is this probably was never enforced, that everyone that was a volunteer with society had to sign these volunteer agreements that then got on file with the district.
Hmm.
And
so that was their way of dealing with it.
That was their way of dealing with it.
That's probably that.
Which is pretty close to what John's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's probably where you would see the release language that we were talking about.
Yeah.
The volunteers would.
I think we can demand that they have a release. Volunteers could have a release. I just don't see the harm in it.
That they would sign a release.
Right.
Release.
That they would sign a release.
Yeah.
Right. That they would have their volunteers sign a release. We could demand that.
That is okay, but in the past I've seen those type of things, and you can still sue Wes, and you can still sue Leo, and even though you've got that agreement,
sure.
That doesn't mean that somebody can't
keep it on that side.
Having a ticket at the ball game that says, you're responsible if you tripped over somebody's foot or whatever. But,
right.
So, yeah. Yes, we can sign that. Those
okay, yeah.
So, real quickly, what we do is that everybody that works at the museum, docents and what have you, we all are members, and we all sign an agreement that we have generated through historical societies throughout the state. So we can make copies of that and give it to you, or you can make up one of your own, and we'll be glad to. I'm sure. We'll be glad
I think you just draft a release, and then it's pretty standard stuff nowadays. Okay,
that's all I have.
All right, thank you.
May I have one last comment, please?
Sure.
Okay. I'd just like to introduce Lee Pardee. Lee, raise your hand, please. Lee is our vice president of our board for the Whitewood Historical Society, and he is taking over the ins and outs of the Whitewood Historical Society.
That's great.
So from this point forward, if the board would please refer to Lee, I'm sure he'll give you your name, rank, and serial number so you can contact him. And he'd be the go-to person for the next year or so until we have elections again, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
What was Lee's last name?
Pardee.
Pardee?
Pardee. P-A-R-D-E.
Not Pardee, like party.
P-A-R-D-E.
All right. Thank you.
P-A-R-D-E. And one last comment. Again, I mentioned this Thursday is the 4th of July. And everybody knows where McDonald's is over at the 138 and the 15. We're having our dedication ceremony there for the Camp Cajon starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you're in town, we'd love to have you over there. We expect a couple hundred people with food. And Brent Spears is supplying us with trash cans, so we appreciate that. So we're going to have a really good ceremony there. I appreciate everybody. You're all welcome to come.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thanks for all of your hard work.
Okay. Item 12, variance for Wrightwood Property Owners Association Ice Cream Social.
Well, I'll kind of kick this off a little bit.
Okay.
In that, if you read my comment, you know, the Wrightwood Property Owners Association is having their annual ice cream social. It's really a nice get together. I've been to a few of them and I really enjoyed them, especially the double scoop. But also, you know, they've been pretty helpful to the district. Like, just recently with the dump cart allowing us to use their bulk mailing stamps, which has saved us several hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now they are asking for a variance for the ice cream social, and that's pretty much where I'm at. I particularly support the idea, but I'm just not a board member.
Okay, so what I'd like to point out is that this year is going to be different. Instead of having our ice cream social in October, we are moving it to July, where we have ice cream in the summer rather than the middle of winter.
Thank you.
We also are still planning to do our a normal thing that we do in October with the polka band, and that's going to be what we call an Oktoberfest. It's under consideration. That's going to be, it's in the early planning stages. We're not exactly sure, but the idea is polka band, brats, beer, pretzels, strudel, and it's a party, like the original vision of the ice cream social ones. What we're doing different this year is we're inviting everybody to come in. Yeah. That's a service organization, like, so we're going to have tables all over the place, like CERT, and Friends of the Library, and Wrightwood Arts, and so on and so forth, to come in and just talk about what they do as part of the community. The big problem with the ice cream social and with the polka band is it's so loud you can't talk. So this is we're looking to be a social. There may be a background musician or something. And the plan is if they do come, the musicians or whatever, the ladies that are working on this are down the hill today. They'll provide their own microphones and all that stuff. And then we're only planning to serve ice cream and toppings, probably not cookies, maybe some water.
What's the time of the event?
It's going to be from 11 to 2 on the 27th. And I think we're already voted for that. So, and that's the purpose. So I would invite the CSC to have a table because a lot of community people don't even know how to spell. So, you know, that would be that's the idea behind this particular event. We are having our election next week, and we have a looks like a really good slate of people coming in that are really senior in the community, a lot of experience with the politics of things, and so we're really looking forward to having a really productive year. With regard to the Wrightwood Village Trail, Lynn Crawford approached us to say, would you be interested in supporting, we're interested as the Quilting Guild in supporting the Wrightwood Village Trail. And the plan there is they've got a quilt that they've already shown are between the Pine Needle Quilting Guild and us. Apparently ticket sales have been brisk. So it looks like people are really going to get behind it because the Wrightwood Village Trail, as John set up, that's our village, that's our jewel, you know, and we really wanted to see it continue. So as we move through, you know, the new board, we're also completely revamping our IT system. The donations to the trail will be a separate line item, just like our scholarship program is. So whatever we collect from that goes, and then we'll see how it goes. I'll let you know if we need help down the road. But
now, Randy,
anyhow, that's the plan.
Thank you,
Randy. You guys have the insurance?
Yes.
And you'll put in a deposit, a clean deposit, will be refunded?
I guess so. Yep.
Yeah.
I absolutely support this variance.
Yeah, so do I.
I wish we'd done it last year. I absolutely support
I think we were late to the game on this one.
We were.
They came late or something.
Yeah.
No, didn't get a
but I support it this year for sure.
I agree.
Okay, can I have a motion to support the variance?
I move we support this variance.
Second.
All those in favor of the variance, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, the variance carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Okay, item 13, variance for Music in the Pines.
Now, I have to apologize to the board because I forgot to invite Claudia Campbell to come to the meeting when she put the variance together. We did try to get a hold of her today, and we were unable to get a hold of her.
Okay, so, can we?
Can we meet it?
Well, I really think she should be here. I think anybody who wants a variance, they should be here.
Well, Dan Campbell's running it. There's a lot of people involved in it this year because it's moved off of their property.
Yeah.
So it's really, I think, actually Dan. He's the one that facilitated it last week and handled the sound and everything.
I'm still considering Claudia's gate, so to speak. But they've already done one on the 27th.
Why is it?
And they have another one coming up on the 11th as well. It's up to the board if you want to go ahead with this, if you want to hold on.
I'll ask the same question I asked Randy. Have they put in the cleaning deposit and security deposit and also have insurance?
Yes, they have the insurance and all of the above.
I believe this is the biggest, one of the biggest recreational opportunities in our town for the entire year. The town shows up. It was on Eric Simon's property previously, and I was kind of nervous about what would happen this year, but the general, I was there Thursday, I'll have pictures. anyway, I was there Thursday, and I have talked to over a dozen people about it since, and it is unanimous agreement that it is much better off in town. It services the businesses in town, or it allows people to access the businesses in town. Parking is easier, access is easier. It's a free event. They accept donations, but it's a free event. And if you're not familiar with what the costs are for music, you've got musicians, you've got the sound crew, you've got all of the setup involved. There is a lot of donation going into this event. And I think it is an unparalleled event in our town for something that's free to our community. There were over 200 people there. I think in general, 500. How many people were there?
500 people.
500. Wow. Okay. I don't even know if my mic is working. It doesn't matter. Speak loudly. When I got there at the beginning,
I hand counted the crowd, and I had over 400 on the hand counter, and I can assure you there was 500 people.
But how many popcorns did you give out?
If that doesn't qualify for Parks and Rec in this town and for reaching our town, I don't know what would. I wholeheartedly support this variant.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So do I.
I support it, too.
Okay. Well, let's have a motion then.
Motion to accept the variance request for Music in the Pines.
I second that.
Okay. All those in favor of the variance for Music in the Pines, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Variance carries.
Mr. Brent.
All right. 14, solid waste update.
Brent, you're here.
What are we doing, Al?
Basically, what we did was Brent and I met.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact date, but whoever it was.
June 10th.
And basically went over the fees and the structures of everything. I've sent him off our agreements for the mandatory commercial.
Oh, for the commercial stuff? Okay.
Right, and the recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, this is just basically giving us their annual update on
on what's been going on, and
built-in
fee adjustment that we had agreed to a couple of years ago. I believe that's covered, right, Brent?
Okay. Can you speak to this, Brent?
That's right.
Okay. Oh, that's okay.
Oh, no comment. Yeah, thank you very much. Bill Spears, General Manager, CRNR. Annually, we have a rate increase. It's a cost of living increase based on indices set by, actually, they were set by the county. Kind of set this up years ago and adopted that contract. So it's an annual increase based on different indices, these cost of living fees. Submitted in the package shows the increases of 4.5% for residential and 3.5% for commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Those rates went into effect July 1st for the contract. And then Al and I did discuss what was going on with the ordinance that I believe you are in the process of doing or have implemented. I'm not sure where
we are
in that
process. Yeah, it's all done. With the
very similar to what has gone on in the community of Sealand.
So with the idea that you would help us report these numbers to CalRecycle, that you would be...
We collect all that information currently and continue to provide that information and submit that to CalRecycle.
And then that would satisfy them. Where are we at with that, Al, on CalRecycle?
We got to the county, and August was when we were required to get it to CalRecycle.
August, and so where are we at with that? I mean, do we have it, or is
I submit continuously a quarterly report. Now, there is a new CalRecycle report that has come out, and I believe, I'm not sure exactly the date, but that is required, that you submit. I will give you those numbers for that. There's a form that needs to be filled out. And I will.
But you're familiar with this form at CalRecycle?
It's brand new form.
Okay,
they're always changing.
Yes, but we really need you for this because it is just too much for us to do.
We collect all the trash that I currently collect. Now, once again, I don't collect everybody's trash, so there's other numbers that are there that I have no way of getting those numbers for you.
No, I understand. I understand, but that's what the ordinance is about, though. That it's mandatory that
That takes care of your commercial. You also
have that takes care of
other things to deal with, also with the residential trash.
But that's not mandatory yet, though.
No, we still have AB 939 regulations that you still have to be concerned with, and new regulations that are coming up that are requirements for the waste and having your arms around the waste and making sure that stuff gets recycled and how you go about doing that.
Yeah.
Here, yeah.
But, okay, that's great, because, I mean, maybe at some point it will be mandatory for residential, too, if they keep going down that road. We'll need those numbers from you, because there's just no way for us to collect those numbers on our own.
So okay. Is this like a yearly?
It's an annual,
annual cost of living, is that the same?
Yep.
Okay, and I assume on the other side, our franchise fee is a cost of living, too.
Oh, yeah. It all say, right?
All to percentage.
It's the pass through.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Any other questions?
No, it's great. You're doing a great job. and thanks for all the all the free stuff you did during the winter and everything. Yeah. That was terrific.
I'm glad that we were able to do that.
It really worked out.
We got permission to go ahead and build containers where we could.
Yeah, Caltrans was great.
With that record snowfall we had and all the participants up here, it was great to see
that. Yeah, it's a great job.
I know my group definitely knew. They did all the cleanup up there. We got all kinds of stuff into the containers, and it was great. That's where the credit goes, is right there. They didn't lock that up.
Yeah. Well, you guys are great. Thanks. Thanks very much, Brent. Okay. Item 15, purchase of security camera system. Discussion of possible action. Is this the one at the skate park, pretty much, or is that the whole thing, or
this
what is
the
it?
Whole thing.
Yeah.
Basically, we're in a situation where last year wasn't so aggressive, but this year it's been very, very aggressive. We've got a lot of graffiti going on. We've got a lot of damage to trees and other. We had somebody at the skate park actually take one of the picnic tables apart.
Nice.
Yeah, and then take all the bolts. So, we've had...
just people really bored or something?
Pretty much.
I don't know. It might not be. But
Okay.
The point being is that our system is right now totally dysfunctional.
We need cameras there for sure.
And we need cameras because at the skate park, we need cameras here at this restroom. Just 2-3 days ago,
yeah,
I picked up some of the filters from the cigarettes, and we know that that's used by the heroin users.
Yeah.
I had those in the men's restroom just a couple of days ago. We have graffiti in the restrooms. We have, fortunately, not a whole lot on the outside, but we're having them on the inside. We don't have any way of monitoring and catching on to any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I brought back a proposal, and I did talk with them, and they said it's still good. The 4915 includes flavor, and includes the 8-channel system, 7 of the cameras, monitor, the point-to-point to the skate park, and this stuff is more technical than I'm aware.
But is this run out of, is the monitor in this building or at UIA?
It'll be all here.
It'll be here, okay.
Is it, can you have the general manager have an app on their phone to see the camera?
Yes.
Well,
yes, it'd be something you could do that if I wouldn't adapt it to. Whereas the current system, well, this would be functional, but current system, you couldn't do that too.
Yeah, my name is Harry. We'll have a couple of questions. Number one, is the camera's motion activated or 24-hour?
24.
Okay, and how long is the retention rate?
I don't know that.
Because on the full screen, there's been like 90 to 120 day retention rate. Also, most cities have it that nobody can look at the pictures on there except for like the board or sheriffs. Even a lawyer, if somebody's suing you, even that lawyer cannot look at those pictures without going to your lawyer and getting permission to take them down, bring them down. Public cannot look at those cameras. They must be stored in a way that no one can look at them. And one of the reasons I know this is I just did the whole thing for Palmdale Transportation Center.
Okay.
And I was in charge of it. So I know all the cameras and how they work and everything.
What was your name?
Harry Bolton.
Harry Bolton, thank you.
Is this something that you tape?
Yes, it's recorded.
It's recorded?
It, it's not really tape, though. It's on a hard drive.
What's that retained for how long?
It just depends on your hard drive storage. You know, like you're saying, if it's, I mean, you got to have a lot of storage to do 120 days.
What's the advantage of 24-hour versus motion-activated?
Well, if you're motion-activated, it may not catch everything. When it's 24 hours, you can catch me from a distance.
You're just literally recording everything.
Yeah. Got it.
And then you can go back. Okay. See, let's say you see a problem. You go, oh, there's some graffiti. Let me go back to the camera. It wasn't there yesterday.
So the catch all.
Yeah, and then you could go back. You go back and look at it, and I have a question about the resolution. I mean, I see a lot of systems with pretty lousy resolution.
Yeah.
And resolution, I know it takes up a lot of space on the hard drive, but it's really necessary because you can't really. You go, well, there's a guy with a baseball cap. Okay. Like you can't tell who it is.
Yeah, when you said ours,
or what's on the hat, yeah. Right, or anything.
So we had a system that you could make out the face of a person a block away.
But that is an expensive system.
Very expensive.
That's what I'm saying.
Very
is that
expensive.
We kind of have to know where that line is. You know, it's resolution and amount of retention.
Correct.
I wouldn't say that we need 120 because you know, if you see graffiti, you see something wrong, we're looking at it pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe you want to see a month, 30 days.
Right now, what we have is 30 or maybe it was 60.
Yeah.
The only problem we came up with that is that sometimes things don't happen as quick as you think it's going to happen. So you may not even know that somebody's suing you till 4 months down the road. Mm-hmm. And now your retention is gone. Because that's a different thing.
We're trying to catch the graffiti guy. You're talking about somebody tripping in the park or something.
I'm just saying overall. I'm just looking at the overall picture.
Yeah.
Didn't UIA offer to donate this stuff?
I don't remember that.
I thought you did.
Well, the good news is
This sounds like somebody else.
Can't we find the minutes, Wes?
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
I don't remember that at all.
Thank you, sir.
Could you give us a quote other than donation?
I don't think so.
That's a quote.
You know, because it's all about the server and how much storage it is. And, you know, the cameras, the high-resolution cameras, are really not that much. It's all about the computer and the storage. It's just massive. That's where all the cost is. And if you want to add a lot of cameras, you need a kind of a high-powered computer, server.
That would be a problem legally for the board president to be entering into a contract.
Yeah, so I never would, you know.
Right.
Charge for something like that. It would just be, I would donate something like that. It just depends on how much.
You could donate it.
You could donate it. He just can't charge it.
You're wrong about that. You can donate it.
You're saying I cannot do it. Okay.
Wes is going to be resigning next month.
Yeah. Steve said I can't do it.
Too late for the minutes.
You have a comment, Lori?
Lori Golden, and just to throw another wrench into the works, you've only got one proposal here. I think you should actually look at least one other company, not just one proposal. I think I know Turner is your most your security company, but I think you need to at least get one other proposal just to at least widen your search.
Harry, what company did?
I don't remember the name of it. That was like 8 years ago.
Oh,
okay. I think. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Lori.
We had to get three quotes.
Let's define a couple things. Al, with your input, how many cameras was this?
Seven.
And do you think that covers us? Seven cameras, or would we like to expand? Because I've seen these different systems, and sometimes they're. You know, that's it. That's all you can do is seven. So can you...
Is it expandable?
Okay.
Because when I was talking with Turner back when we were talking about this...
Yeah.
You know, it is definitely expandable. The seven cameras are all external. We could bring in some internal cameras if you really wanted to go that route as
yeah.
well. But this is all just external. This is basically kind of covering the same 4 points that we have, but then adding a couple more... For definition.
So you think seven is good right now?
I think so.
That's what you're thinking. And you don't know what the resolution is or the retention for that.
I know it was high res, but you know.
Okay.
I just can't tell you.
Okay.
Before we put our system in, when we contacted a company, they came out with no charge and went around the areas that we were interested in putting cameras, and they told us what they thought. Now, doesn't have to go with it. What they thought, how many cameras you would need.
Yeah, I was
covering the area.
I was just getting to that.
Sorry.
Okay.
And that's what we did.
Okay.
How many cameras do we have currently?
Four.
Well, the skate park doesn't work, though, does it? No, but that's part of the four.
I think it'd be great to get another estimate.
You have one on the porch. You have one on the corner over here. That looks at the restroom. You have one on the back of the door of the kitchen that looks at the shed, and then we have the skateboard.
Oh, perfect. And they don't work.
Al, did you say that's what they did is come out and they walked around and told you that seven cameras would cover what we needed?
This is what their recommendation is. Minimum. I mean, again, you can always go.
Is it possible for you to get, you have a quote? You have an actual quote? Or?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's in there. Okay. And can we just get another quote? At least one more, just to, and get them up here to do the same thing. What would they recommend?
No,
please don't hand them this quote and go, hey, what do you think?
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
And would you include UIA's quote?
No. Sounds like we're on the right track.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Item 16, Proposition 68. State Park Per Capita Program Update. Oh, yeah, this is the grant, right?
Last month, we talked about a couple of different grant options.
Yeah.
We chose to go with this one. I just wanted to let the board know a couple of things. One is that I've got Monica working with me on that. I've also got Michelle O'Hannon working with me on that, and I've been talking to a few other people as well. We're looking at a minimum of two proposals that we could put together and get them to the state, but maybe a maximum of four. The difference being is that one proposal would be, I'm just going to go from west to east. One proposal would be, let's just say, Hollis Stewart Park area, which would be a lot of improvements there. And then, as we mentioned last month, putting in a wrestling facility over there. And then some improvements at the skateboard park, because some of the stuff at the skateboard park is starting to get used and abused there and just needs to be, you know, repaired.
Yeah, and so, okay, so you're wanting to break this up into four pieces.
Correct.
And do you think we have a better chance that way? Why?
Yes.
Do you think there's some weaknesses with doing just one proposal?
If you do one big proposal,
yeah.
Okay, you're only having one shot, and they're not going to break it down for you. If you give...
So they might dissect it and go, well, this kills it.
Or the
too
much.
Basically, yeah. And the criteria is a lot nicer on this one. The second spot is basically what I call the really null proposal, which is the parking lot structure out here, revamping this whole building to the lease specifications, putting in a good drainage system so that we don't have the accumulation of ice that we have.
But isn't it the same argument? Like, are we jeopardizing? I mean, they're going to see all these proposals and go, I'm not giving all this stuff to these guys. They got four different proposals. Yeah, they need to pick one. I mean, isn't there some?
That's not their mindset.
That's not okay.
Their mindset is they want on a proposal has to be a minimum of $200,000 and a maximum of $8.5 million. Okay, there's got a lot of people going out there for the big dollars. They like the low hanging fruit.
That's true. Is there anybody that? You know how this stuff works, right? They
right.
have their red flags. They have their things that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to that their hot buttons.
Absolutely.
And so you know where those are. That's mm-hmm. That's the most important part of this stuff.
A lot of it has to do with LEED certification.
Yeah.
Which is an environment that all came about on AB 32 back in 2006, and. The state of California, all of their facilities that they do have to be upgraded to LEED standards. And when they see that going on with our agency, they're going to say, that's a good thing.
Okay, right.
Yeah. You
know, okay.
When we're looking at water conservation, that's a really good thing. That's still a hot ticket.
Still?
And it's still a hot ticket. And what we're looking at is capturing stormwater, putting in a retaining pond that we could almost like a cistern type system.
Oh, okay.
Okay, where you take the water and pump it back out and use it for the landscape, that type of thing. They love that type of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
Obviously we need to do some ADA requirements stuff again. That's a big ticket item.
That's the one I'm really interested in, right? This parking lot and... Right.
And parking lot in this building. And
right.
Could the firehouse be a part of that as well?
Yes, we could. We could do something over there. I don't see a whole lot to do over there, but we could.
There's just a lot to do in that parking lot. I mean, that thing needs to be leveled off.
Here, yeah.
Here. And then a third proposal, something that Monica's been really... hot about is putting in some sports fields and that type of thing on some property down by a Wright Mountain Road. And it was something that was brought together by the county back in 2009-2010 through Prop 68 or Prop 84, excuse me, through Prop 84 back then. The county didn't get anything here, but then nobody else did either. You know, it all went somewhere else because of the criteria. The criteria are a lot different now, and that's a good possibility. Something that's usually focused on. And then, something that I came up with that I have a whole lot of information on, is that our district has a sphere of influence that goes down to Horse Canyon. Okay? And Horse Canyon would be, it used to be a shooting range. Okay? And one of the things that I'd like to do is bring back that concept of a shooting range down in that area. And I tried it through Field and Pinion Hills. We had some resistance with some people from Angeles National Forest. We left that San Bernardino National Forest. Angeles National Forest actually maintains that area. But they have a whole new group of people up there now in management. Cool. And there are similar ranges around that, like the one in Lytle Creek, is still making about $10,000 a weekend. So it may be a money revenue generator. If that one got turned down, believe me, I can get a lot of people, a lot of companies to help put it together anyway.
So, okay, so this is on here. Are you looking for direction, or what are you looking for here?
Well, I'm just bringing those up, but we have to approve a resolution. And I have a resolution in the packet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standard resolution that they have. You only need one resolution. You don't have to have four separate ones, or three separate ones, or two separate ones.
Oh, to cover all?
One covers it all.
Okay. So you need this resolution to turn into them.
We just need this resolution to be approved
okay. By
the board, and then we can start the process and just go forward from there.
And you support this resolution in full?
I do, yes.
Okay.
And, Mr. Kennedy has looked at it, and he just kicked me in the head, so we're fine.
Is there any comments on this, Steve?
No.
Okay.
And is part of the process still organizing, like, community meetings for community input on these four different proposals?
It's not necessary. I would suggest that we do some of that.
Okay.
That's not necessary for the grant, but it's also something that when they look at things, they go, well, yeah, they went to the community. They got some input.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be something that we should do.
Okay. I agree.
Any more comments from the board on this resolution?
What's the timeline? It says the performance in the grant process or performance period is July 1st to 18th to June 30th, 22.
And the resolution needs to be submitted no later than November 1st of this year. The application packet needs to be submitted no later than January 31st of 2020.
Alright.
And then the contract, we'll probably be assigned and submitted out by March 31st, 2020.
Okay. Well, I support this, and Al, I really appreciate your knowledge and history of working with grants and writing grants and such. Anyway, very grateful for that and the knowledge you bring to this and what this could open up for our town.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Even if we get one grant.
Great.
Exactly.
Than no grant.
Oh, absolutely.
Or a little town.
Okay. Can
people
I?
People need to look at it, or should
no,
I?
No, I think, can we have a motion?
I move we adopt the resolution 2019-08.
All second.
All right. All those in favor of the resolution 2019-08, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The resolution is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al, for your work.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, director's comments. Leo, as tradition has it, you've got to start.
What's the resolution there, sir? Director's comments. A couple of people I want to thank. I knew that they're in
Latterly.
Pass that back down.
John Lanou, a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a great Wrightwoodian. So I want to really thank him and his wife. And Al, the last 2 years, I want to thank you.
for your help on getting this CSD going and where we're at today. And best of luck in your future, and I thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
I agree with Leah. I'm sorry I don't have any other comments, but thank you, both, everyone.
And now I want to say it's been, you know, we started the CSD. We couldn't have done it without you. I think you came along at the right time, and I think it was perfect. With all your background and knowledge, I think it worked out just right.
Yeah,
you guys are gonna be blush
or something. Yeah.
I want to cry, Al.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really do appreciate it. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mine's along the same, you know, idea. I wasn't here when the board hired you. I was out of state, but what I especially appreciate is the note that you're going out on. I especially appreciate that you're doing, I think all of the work you've done has been important, but this grant proposal, I know, is your area of expertise, or that's from the many years I've known you, and from the work on Measure L and all the stuff that, you know, right. I knew you from before this board. I know that's your area of strength, and I very much appreciate that you are leaving on this note of leaving us in a position to continue to grow and not just saying, see ya. So I appreciate that professionalism and the commitment and dedication to this organization.
Thank you
for all of your work.
Comments, Chuck?
No, I think, you know, the one thing that we still need to do, and maybe that's on number 18, if we talk about a special meeting.
Yeah, I am. Oh, I'm okay. Going to talk about that then.
Then that's fine.
Okay. Let's give a hand for Al, okay?
Yes.
Thanks, Al. Okay, future board meeting, 18. So, yeah, we need to have a special board meeting probably sooner than later.
Yeah.
To go over your whatever the ad hoc committee has for.
So the two dates Chuck and I had talked about this afternoon.
Yeah.
Two dates would be next Tuesday,
the 9th,
or the
23rd.
Or the 23rd.
I say the 9th.
Okay.
Let's look in the calendar.
What do you think?
Tuesday the 23rd.
The 9th.
I think we got snow players.
I wish I had my calendar, but I think I'm okay. But I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I think I'm okay, and if I was not okay, I will notify you by email.
Chuck, are you okay with the 9th?
The 9th? Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Michelle?
Can we get them to move?
Is the facility open? Is non-players here? Chuck was saying
we could go to the fire station.
Hold on. On the calendar, just stick my nose in there. It says...
Snow
line
players.
For the 9th,
that's Cheryl Snow.
Yeah, can we get them to move?
Snow line players groups coming in. One's from 12 to 4, the other one's from 7 to 9:30.
Can we get them to move? If they got a variance, it's free. And
seriously. Do you want to do it in the afternoon, or you could do it earlier? We want to do it in the evening, right?
Yeah. Same time.
I'll do it whatever time you guys want.
6:30
is
fine.
The firehouse?
And this is open.
Now,
the 9th is open at the firehouse,
if you
want
to do that.
Okay.
So this
would be an open session?
Yeah.
6:30, well, we could do both. We could have an open session.
Just put both on the agenda, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay.
What was that?
Okay.
So that's 6:30?
We'll have an open session and then a closed session.
Oh. In case we do both at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. I suppose we can meet at 6.
Yeah. We can meet at 6.
Sure.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take the whole day off.
And that would be at the fire?
Dude!
I'll just be ready. What, 6?
6 o'clock, location?
Well, the firehouse is open.
All right. Let's just do it there. It's simpler, right?
Yeah.
Cozy.
Not going to give a whole bunch of meetings for the...
But what do we have, 12 right now, and we have like 20 at the beginning? What do you all think?
Firehouse.
Firehouse is sufficient?
Yeah, that'll have to do.
If I could make one little comment about that, I would prefer the firehouse, and here's the reason why. When Charlie and I interviewed by the board, if Charlie was able to go outside, I did the first interview.
Uh-huh.
And he stood by that door and he heard absolutely everything that went on. Because when I went outside and he was doing the interview, that's what I did. I stood by that door and I heard absolutely every conversation, every stutter that went on. At the firehouse, we'll have to go out front.
Okay.
Maybe we'll go buy a pizza. But then, you know, we don't have to have that scenario where they're having access to hearing what the other candidates...
It didn't help them, Al.
We also don't need a PA system at the museum, right?
No.
It's small, so that helps too, with it not carrying.
Yeah, right.
Okay, great point.
Okay,
thank you.
We all set then? Can you get it out?
From today, yes. 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? Tuesday.
The 9th.
Okay. We're all good with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What about you, Steve? Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. I forgot to ask Steve.
No, it's good.
Sorry. Okay.
6 p.m.?
Yes.
6 p.m.
Yes. All right. We all set? Okay. That's it. Meeting adjourned.